Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board with us as we face the issues. Got an exciting program for us today. If you're interested in conservative theological teaching, if you're interested in what the Bible says in relationship to eschatological prophetic future, if you're interested in knowing what the Word of God says that's going to take place in this old world, beginning with what is very imminent, that is the rapture of the church. And following the rapture of the church is 7 years of ruin, and then the return of the Lord Jesus Christ and the reign of Christ for 1,000 years, and then we are all in eternity, one place or the other. That's exactly what the Bible teaches. We'll be talking about that today, but looking at the panorama of prophecy, or if some would call it the chronology of eschatology, one of the things I believe that's so vital and needed today in the life of Christians and in the life of pulpit ministries is to understand the chronology of Scripture, especially when it comes to the chronology of eschatology, that is prophetic text. What's going to happen next and next and next and next, and how is it going to happen? When's it going to take place? What we need to do as Christians to be prepared for that. That's what we'll be talking about today. And let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Have Pastor Glenn Davis with me today. He hails from up in the fine city of Folkestone, Georgia, and he's with us today. He and I are going to talk about prophecy, what the Scripture says, how we ought to be prepared, and what we need to do in relationship to that. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of Scripture, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. What does God's Word say? For the most part, we've gotten away from that. For the most part, we've gotten to the point where it's just what I call storytelling. It is talking about how to get rich quick. Most are focused on the health and the wealth gospel. Most churches and most members and most Christians, they don't understand what to do when calamity hits because they've never been taught from the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. We're going to talk about some of the things that's needed today, but we'll look at, in very rapid fire, the overview of eschatology, beginning with the rapture of the church. What does the Scripture say? How will it take place? But ladies and gentlemen, we face the issues. We do so based on the authority of the Scripture. It is the truth book. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further, he points to the Scripture. John 17:17, the Lord Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." It's the truth of the Word of God that should make the difference in your life and in mine. Truth is not sought after today. Truth is not honored today. Truth is, in fact, degraded, dissed, as the world calls it, and disbelieved. It's George Orwell, the one that wrote the dystopian novel entitled 1984, projecting what America would be like in 1984. He missed the years, but he was exactly on target with what he said in relationship to what America would be like. And he said in that book, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we're exactly at that point today. This is the reason I go to what the 15th century theologian and church reformer said. That is, Jan Hus made the statement, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death." And ladies and gentlemen, I believe we're rapidly approaching the day and hour when it will be a challenge for our lives to stand for the truth. Yes, I believe, listen carefully, I believe that before the rapture of the church takes place, before the church is raptured out of this old world, before we're suddenly seized, snatched out in the rapture of the church, I believe before that time arrives that we as Christians, we will see persecution and prosecution and difficulty, and we will be persecuted and prosecuted for standing on the truth of the Word of God. Now, no, we will not see the Great Tribulation. Revelation talks about chapter 6 through chapter 18 of Revelation. That is for those that are lost, those that have said no to Jesus Christ. That's exactly what will take place after the rapture of the church. But we're going to talk about that today during the course of the broadcast. But let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time has the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, has knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the professional lawn care and the homeowner lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, where is that? That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a gigantic flagpole with the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Find that flag and flagpole, ladies and gentlemen. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, our world seems to be totally out of control. And from a human standpoint, I believe we are out of control. A nation, a people, a world that's turned their back on Jesus Christ and said no to God, rejected God's word, and dissed the word of God, I believe the world will get into a greater quagmire and a greater depth of chaos and confusion before the rapture of the church takes place. But I believe God's still on the throne. I believe God is still sovereign. I believe God is still in full control, though man seems to be out of control. And ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully lest you think otherwise. It's an impossibility to know everything in the Word of God. It's an impossibility to know exactly detailed what God is going to do. But God's Word, the Bible, has all of the answers. And I commend that book to you. So today we're going to talk about the chronology of eschatology. That is what happens first, second, third, fourth, fifth, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I call it the panorama of prophecy. I had the privilege of publishing a book just a few years back. It's entitled The Panorama of Prophecy. It was published just a few years ago. In fact, it was 2011. It's a 155-page book. Let me just share with you the brief overview of the table of contents. The panorama of the prophecy detail. It's planned. It's purposed. It's personal. The certainty of the rapture. It's special. It's sure. The characteristics of the rapture. The shout, the summons, the sound, the swiftness, the chronology of the rapture. It will be for those that are sleeping and those that are serving. The celebration of the rapture, the consolation of the rapture, the consequences of the rapture. All of this is covered in this book. The period of the ruin, that's the 7 years of tribulation. The program of the ruin, it talks about the details of what happens in the tribulation. And it talks about the powerful return of the Lord Jesus Christ, his second coming, and what will take place. And it talks about the marriage supper of the Lamb, what we will be doing just before we return with the Lord Jesus Christ, what we'll be doing immediately after we're raptured out of this old world. It's a fascinating study, the panorama of the prophecy. During the course of this broadcast today, this book, by the way, retails for $16.99, $17. It's going to be yours free today, and we'll even pay the shipping for you. Every caller that calls in, if you do not already have this book, let me commend it to you. It's worth the call to ask you a question, give your input and dialogue on this broadcast, because we will ship to you free and postage paid this book, The Panorama of the Prophecy. I'd love to put it in your hands. For every caller today, you leave your name and address with our call screener, screen caller or call screener, AJ, that will be answering the phone for you. Leave your name and address and we'll ship that book to you. We'll be delighted to do so. But ladies and gentlemen, I believe the greatest need for the church today, Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, is to know the Bible, to know the Bible. Multitudes of believers today, including pastors, I believe, let me just put this clearly, bluntly, but plainly. Many Christians, they are ignorant of the Word of God. Many that are immature in the Word. Many that simply are lost and do not realize they're lost and do not have the hunger to study the Word. And consequently, there are a lot of pastors that are responsible for that because they're not teaching the word, preaching the word, sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ verse by verse and chapter by chapter in the scripture. I'm looking at a book, not promoting the book at this juncture. I've not read the entire book, but it's just given to me. And it says this: the greatest threat to biblical Christianity today is not atheism, not militant Islam, the sexual revolution, or the hostile public square. The greatest threat to biblical Christianity today is weak, soft, man-centered, sin-affirming, ear-tickling, flesh-pressing, pleasing, self-help theology. And this particular writer goes on to say, the major problem is that we do not have the proper preaching in the pulpit today. He encourages those to be interested in, listen to, and seek after nothing but that of expository preaching. He says, and I quote, I receive one of the most common calls, emails, and messages I receive is from sincere Bible-believing Christians who have become disappointed with modern churches or their pastors. They desire meaty, expository preaching, discipleship, and a willingness to address biblical prophecy and current events in our culture. Most pastors rarely preach on prophecy. Most pastors avoid prophecy. And you ask the question, why is that so? One of the problems, I believe, Pastor Davis, is that many pastors are not familiar with prophecy themselves.
Amen.
They'll pick and choose a verse here, a tidbit here, a little nugget here, but not familiar with the chronology of eschatology. Not familiar with what I call the panorama of prophecy. And that's not trying to put down, tear down, or destroy pastors. I'm thankful for those that labor in the Word, stand and preach and teach the Word out of a passion for the Word and willingness to take the time to study and to know the Word. But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about eschatology today, the prophecy, panorama of prophecy. But one of the things that we see looking back in very recent history, the church, I believe, is asleep. And we see that generally because of the state of apathy in our churches today. In fact, I think part of it is a result of that decline that we've already seen as far as the apathy and the apostasy. But then because of COVID and the shutdown of the churches, we see that apathy has escalated in America, where there's the mindset that I can sip tea, sip coffee, and sit on the edge of my couch, watch some dude on television, or read it, or look up some preaching on the internet, and that's satisfying. Pastor, that's not fellowship around the Word of God.
Amen.
That
Amen.
Is a far cry from what the Scripture says. In fact, we're warned not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the heathens do.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
One of the things, Pastor, I believe that's needed is exactly what is being done today, and that's giving our listeners an introduction to the panorama of prophecy. According to the Barna Report, ladies and gentlemen, George Barna, the Barna Report, does the greatest service to America, has been for many, many, many years from the mid-80s, on doing religious research. And in the survey of recent, the survey stated, pointed out, that for the average Christian, they call themselves faithful Christians, or call themselves practicing Christians, they admitted, the large percentage admitted, that they attend church once a month. Now, I don't call that being a practicing Christian. What if you were to eat regular food once a month?
My.
What if you'd feed yourself
Amen.
Physically if you'd
That's
feed yourself
thought.
Once a month?
Amen.
You'd die for hunger.
Amen.
And yet, the pastor, it seems to me that multitudes of Christians today think that it's all right just to jump into church, take 30 minutes, an hour listening to what I call goosebump theology, cotton candy theology,
Amen.
Voodoo theology for 45 minutes, 30 minutes, or an hour, and they're filled to the brim. And that's because they're either lost, or they're immature, or they're totally ignorant of the Scripture and do not realize they're not being fed the meat of the Word. And so I believe there's a need, ladies and gentlemen, to understand what Scripture says. In our society today, where rebellion against God, rejection of God's Word, and the refusal to listen to the truth, the churches, I believe, are in a deficit of understanding of the Word of God. There's a need. The Scripture says we need to be ready to give the reason for the hope that lies in us. The Scripture is very, very clear, ladies and gentlemen, that hope that lies within us is from the Word of God, and that should give us that passion, that encouragement that we need to study the Word.
Amen.
Multitudes, Pastor, multitudes. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, as we share together today, Pastor Davis and I want to try to get as much in as possible as an overview, a thumbnail sketch of eschatology, that is, prophetic text in the Scripture. And I understand that in this period of time, we're not be able to dig deep into all that we would like to say, could say, or would say, but the mic's open. The telephone lines are open. 831-0917. You can ask your question about prophecy, about the Word of God. You just pick the text.
Amen.
But
Amen.
We'd love to talk with you about it. Love to answer your questions about that today.
Amen.
But ladies and gentlemen, we have so many what I call loonies of the left that's in control of culture. The church is not in control today because of the watered-down word being taught and preached to so many members in the church. As one writer said, the greatest threat to biblical Christianity today is weak, soft, man-centered, sin-affirming, ear-tickling, flesh-pleasing, self-help theology.
Amen. Can I add something else to that, Dr.
Youngblood? Yes, sir.
Because I'm so overtaken.
Yes.
By everything you've already said, and I'm hoping and praying. First, I say good morning, amen, to my bride, amen, of 35 years.
Yes.
Thank God, love you. Love all my family members, amen, from South Florida all the way up to the tip of New York. Wherever you are, if you're listening this morning, thank God for you. All of you, my friends and family, amen. Big city of Folkestone, thank you, amen, for listening this morning. We hope and pray that what we are saying will help you to get ready against that day.
Yes, absolutely.
Because what we're trying to do is combine everything we can into this little time frame.
Yes, that's brief.
That we have, and we can do this 365 days, Dr. Youngblood, and still not get it all in.
You got it. Absolutely, brother.
But we want to give you some nuggets that you can take. And once you get this from us, if you are writing them down or recording them in some kind of way or another, so that you can go back to the Word of God and search out what the Word says and put that along with what we are giving you on today to help you along against that day.
Yes.
Because Jesus is coming back. He's on his way.
That's right.
Amen. And it behooves us to be ready. But Dr. Youngblood, I'm going to say this, and I think I just want to add a little something to what you just got finished saying.
Right ahead.
That's causing people to fall short. And this is something that God just, he kind of put this in my heart, in my spirit here,
amen,
just a few days ago when I got to thinking about how slack the church is today,
mm-hmm,
and how they neglect, how they fail to assemble themselves together.
Yes.
How, Dr. Youngblood, they are so comfortable with sitting home on the couch and watching the television evangelist, and they don't know what kind of life he's living. We need to know and understand that Bible doesn't tell us to assemble ourselves together for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Because you really need to hear the Word of God.
That's right.
Faith cometh by hearing, not just on the TV, but you need to hear it in person, and it also helps you to be able to turn to your scripture and read it for yourself.
Yes.
But faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. But what's causing the people to fall short on today, Dr. Youngblood, is F-E-A-R.
Right.
Fear.
Mm-hmm.
Now, God gave me some words to put with those letters as an acrostic.
Yes.
And I'm going to share that with you. F-E-A-R.
Do that.
Fear and faith doesn't occupy the same space at the same time.
Right.
So F-E-A-R, this is what the Lord gave me, forgetting everything about reality.
Mm-hmm.
They have forgotten that the only thing real in life for all mankind, whether you save or whether you're not saved, is God.
That's right.
And the only way that you're going to be able to get to where he is, to escape the damnation in the world,
that's right,
is to be blood washed and born again.
You got it.
Now, what Dr. Youngblood has already explained, God has already given us what's going to happen, what's even happening right now. Every time you turn the pages in this Bible, it's like reading the front page of the newspaper.
You got it.
It's coming to pass rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
Because the time is not as long as it has been.
That's right. We're wrapping it up.
So what we're trying to do is make sure that before the curtain closes, that you're ready so that when we go, Dr. Youngblood, I want to take as many as I can along with me.
That's right.
Especially in my family. Amen. Amen. Everybody in my family is not saved.
That's right.
And I'm hoping and praying, amen, that you will get it together before it's too late.
That's right.
But the real part, the part, the reality part that we want you to get a hold of. We want you to get a grip on this today. Prophecy has already been given to the church in advance, because when you look at 1 Timothy, I believe that is over there, that's chapter 4, said the Spirit speaketh expressly. That one, I'm not looking at it, but it said, I think that's what it said.
Right.
That in the last days, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils.
That's right.
Lies are being spread all about, because the truth of the word is out there and the devil don't want you to know the truth.
That's right.
So this is why we're trying to share with you, amen, this great book that Dr. Youngblood has written. I've read it. A real good book. Amen. Something that will help strengthen your walk in Christ.
Absolutely.
But that's there's other material for. That you also need to read to go along with this, as well as your Bible, because we are commanded to study
Christ.
To show ourselves approved. Mm-hmm. We are commanded, Dr. Youngblood, also in the scripture, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit.
Right.
Turn that, and I'm going to say it like the old people used to say it a long time ago, turn that television off.
That's right.
Because some people, Dr. Youngblood, don't know that the TV is going to cause them to end up in hellfire.
That's right.
Because they trust and believe in things on the TV more than they believe in the Word of God.
Pastor, you hit the nail on the head.
Amen.
In fact, people will believe what the Communist Network News commentators say. They will believe what CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, NBC, they'll believe what they say more than they believe what the Bible says.
Amen.
Placing their faith and trust and confidence in man and not in God.
Amen.
That's one of the major problems. So let's think this way, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, that telephone number is 831-0917. That telephone call gets you through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question, your comment, dialogue, and discussion. This mic is open today. Love to hear from you. Want to hear from you. Love to have you join in this dialogue and discussion.
Amen.
The next thing on the calendar of God, Pastor, the next thing on the calendar of God, ladies and gentlemen, is what is called the rapture of the church. Now,
Amen.
Listen very carefully. You'll have people, when you talk about the rapture of the church, you'll have some that will say, there's no such thing as the rapture of the church.
Amen.
That will deny the truth of the Word of God. There's some that reject it because the word, listen carefully, the word rapture is not in the Bible.
Amen.
It's not there.
Amen.
But it's the sudden seizure, the snatching away. Pastor, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to read verses 13 through 18. And ladies and gentlemen, we could take the entire broadcast on just the rapture of the church. We need to touch on this, but dig a little deeper on it, and then overview the balance of the text about the eschatological future. You see, I know what's going to happen for the eschatological future because I've read the last chapter of the book. I've read the book of the Revelation. I've read the 21st chapter of the Gospel of Luke. I've read the text in Matthew chapter 24. And God tells us what He's going to do. He tells us what's going to happen. He doesn't give us the date or the day, but He tells us what's going to happen in the last days.
Amen.
And
Amen.
The first thing that's going to happen, the next thing, and there's not a date set for it, it's imminent. It could happen at any moment. That's called the rapture of the church. Pastor, read those verses for us, and then we're going to dialogue for a brief moment about them.
Amen. 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning at 14. For if, now that's if you don't believe, this won't apply to you.
Back up to verse 13 for us.
Amen. We're going back to 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words.
That's a fantastic text. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, it's what theologically, doctrinally, and biblically, it's called the classic text in all of the Scripture dealing with the rapture of the church. That classic text is the Apostle Paul is speaking to the church at Thessalonica. He's talking to the believers, and some of the believers did not understand what's going to happen in the future.
Amen.
They were concerned and worried, if you please, about their loved ones that had gone to be with the Lord. The word sleep in the New Testament generally is meant to be a euphemism for those that have died in the Lord. As far as God sees us, we're just asleep. He's not talking about soul sleep now, as some Christian cults call it, where you die, you're in the grave, it's just soul sleep until the great day of awakening, as some call it. That's not what I'm talking about at all. But Jesus refers to, in this text, it's referring to those that have died in the Lord, those that are asleep in the Lord.
Amen.
Pastor, there's two or three things, in fact, several things that we could say about it, digging the well on it. We'll try to be very brief so we can move on with other parts of eschatological prophecy as to the chronology of it. But the rapture of the church is detailed in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18. First of all, it's planned. In fact, it's planned because in John 14, 1, 2, and 3, the Lord Jesus promises, I will come again and receive you unto myself.
Amen.
That where I am, there you may be also. It's a planned event. It's planned. It's already on the calendar of God, ladies and gentlemen. It's not something that you need to wonder about. It's not something you need to say, well, I don't know if it's really true. And you can just ban that from your mind. If the Bible says it, that settles it. It is true, and it's going to take place. And that's called the rapture of the church. It is the certainty of the rapture. It's
Amen.
Planned. Jesus said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. It's purposed, ladies and gentlemen. He says, to receive you unto myself. Our Lord wants us to be with him. He wants to be with us. And it's the purposed plan of the rapture of the church is that we can be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a personal thing, ladies and gentlemen. He says, where I am, that you may be also.
Amen.
It is a personal Amen. Thing. Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, if you've said yes to him as Savior and as Lord, there's coming a day that we'll be suddenly seen, snatched out of this old world. We'll be raptured. It's the Greek or Latin word rapturus, which simply means to be suddenly seized, to be snatched. We'll be snatched out, taken out of the... Can you imagine, ladies and gentlemen, when the rapture takes place, jet airplanes are careening out of the skies.
My.
You'll find trains that will be running without a conductor. You'll find half the trains or planes will be empty because suddenly sees the raptured saints will be gone. Can you imagine in the operating room, the doctor's about to put the scalpel into the heart of a patient that's a Christian. He's going to do open heart surgery, and then all of a sudden that patient is gone. The scalpel is still in the doctor's hands, and the nursery in the hospital, the nurses will be screaming down the hallway, doctor, doctor, come quick. All of the babies have disappeared out of the nursery. That's some of the scene, as I see it in my mind, of the taking place, what will happen when the rapture of the church takes place. It's planned, it's purposed, and it's personal. That's the certain of the rapture of the church, but we find the characteristics of the rapture of the church found in the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. The characteristics of it, I'll say this very briefly, then we'll take our first caller today, but we find in the rapture of the church, the characteristics, first of all, is the shout. The scripture says he is going to shout. There's the shout. The Lord himself will shout, and in the Greek text, it literally means a loud scream. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to scream, and he's going to call us out of this old world.
Amen.
I believe we have our caller. We've got about 45 seconds. Take a moment. Then we'll complete our conversation after the top of the hour news. Hello?
Hello.
Go ahead with your question and comment. We're on the fast track for the hard break.
Okay. Dr. Youngblood, Pastor Davis, Revelation 18, 11 through 14. When it's describing the fall of the great city there, every time I read that, I just can't help but thinking about America because basically the world's gotten rich to us. But I understand that Babylon is also a form of government similar to the ancient Babylonian government where power was delegated out from
Hold your thought. Hang in. Don't hang up. We're going to take 1 minute top of the hour news break, come back, and we'll listen to your question, and then we'll respond to it right after the news.
EDU.